Welcome to a paddock walk edition of the Talking Loose podcast with me, Hal Ridge, from the second round of the FIA European Rallycross Championship here in Hungary. I'm absolutely exhausted, been commentating all weekend. What an RX1 final. Andreas Backerud taking the victory. Johan Kristoffersen ending up in the wall in the outside of the first corner. Julien Meunier taking his second win of the year in RX3. Philip Mellen as well, taking a first win in the RX4 category, and it was Frenchman Comte who took victory in RX5. So much happened in RX1. We're going to head off into the paddock as the teams are packing up, and I'm going to put on my rucksack with my GoPro on, which hopefully will last better than last time. So let's have a look. I'm currently upstairs in one of the circuit offices. Thank you, Tierney. Ever useful. Well, mostly useful. Tierney Oliver. Right, let's try and avoid falling over down these steps and see who we can find as we head into the paddock. Brilliant action throughout the weekend. It always delivers this circuit, doesn't it? First corners. Let's have a little look there at scrutineering. And I'm actually just going to walk around here quickly. For those listening, I'm just walking around the side of the scrutineering bay to have a quick look at Andreas Backerud's car, with a lot of the set promotion team talking to the FIA technical delegates. Backerud's car on stands at the front, and the Jack at the back. Here's a man we can grab very quickly. Christian Szabo, Hungarian superstar, doesn't look delighted that we've caught him better. Chris, you've been working as a spotter this weekend with Rikus Gürkulis, as you have been for the last couple of years. Strong weekend. I think he's a bit disappointed not to get the victory, but good pace in the final and a good fight back after a difficult day one.
Yeah, but we've done everything what we could do today. I think it was maximum. You know, when it's a row of everything, or it's, you know, everything has an influence on the future. I think yesterday he made some mistakes, small mistakes we'd had. The influence on the final, that we only started from the outside, and as with two identical cars, two, as you said, two fast drivers, there's not a lot of things to do. So yeah, we are happy with the second place. Of course, we have to step up a bit and be there on top from the beginning, from Q1, and not only on Sunday. But yeah, Meunier is fast. He's quick, and he's a good guy. I think he's a clean driver. I'm expecting some more fights this year with him.
I know you're enjoying spotting, I know you're enjoying doing this driver coaching and the engineering side, but what are the chances of seeing you back in a car at some point?
I hope the chances are high. I'm working on it. I'm looking closely on this championship and on the new regulations or the rumors, and hopefully I can come back one day.
Thank you, Chris. Good to see you. Thank you. Former Super 1600 champion, double champion with the Volland Racing squad, and been on the podium in World RX as well with the GRX set team, a local supercar here on the right hand side. Skoda Fabia, some of the Aurora guys who have made a quick exit. They want to speak to me at the moment. They're sick of hearing me, actually, having been commentating all weekend. Volland Racing packing up here on the right hand side. Here's two drivers that are absolutely sick of hearing from, Juha Ruktanen and Joni Tepainen. Joni, a tough weekend coming here because you had the pressure of having finished on the podium in the opening round, and then Saturday evening you felt that you'd run out of dry tyres and really you needed some rain, but brilliant performance today.
Yeah, it was great. It went perfect, I have to say. It's three cars from set on the podium, so that's amazing.
Could you have imagined your European Championship season starting in this way with two podiums, especially with the level of competition?
Of course, no. The level is so high now. No, I couldn't.
Well done, mate. Let's have a quick word with your teammate, Juha Ruktanen. Juha, he's just a kid, isn't he? And he's so fast, your teammate. How much are you enjoying not only driving yourself at this level, but also working together with a young star like Joni?
Yeah, of course, it's really nice to work with him, and he's driving really fast, and you know, his age is not the what I am, but still he is the really, you know, the professional and really heads working really much good, and it's nice to work with him.
Your head was obviously working pretty well this weekend as well. I was in the pre-grid for the semi-finals. Your tyres were in great shape before the semis. You obviously put a lot of effort into managing the tyre wear early in the weekend, and that paid off in the final.
Yeah. We changed a little bit the tyres, you know, the plan, and I try to keep the safe my tyres all heats, and I think that's paid the final back.
Quick shout for the set team. You've worked with quite a few different teams in your time in Supercar RX1 now, but how is it working with Jussi Pinnamäki's guys and set promotion?
I think he's the best guy what we can get, and I think we can show how strong a team that is, and that's really great.
Thank you, Art. Thank you for your time. Cheers, guys. The two Finns who don't love chatting, I must admit, but they are great fun, and I'm sure we will see good things from them through the course of the season. Passing KMS on the right-hand side, those mechanics are packing up rapidly. Half of the awnings are down already. Here's someone else I'm going to grab very quickly. Now, this driver, RX4 winner Philip Mellon, was so nervous ahead of the interviews after Saturday afternoon, but you should have been more nervous about the performance, mate, because you're brilliant at the interviews. What a performance in the RX4 category. How much pressure did you feel on pole position for the final?
Fantastic race. Not pressure, but I'm very happy. The final, it's very fantastic for me and for us. I'm starting in P1 and I'm first corner. And I'm first, and it's very, very fantastic. The organization is fantastic, and I'm very happy.
Using a different car to some of your opposition in RX4, there's a few different makes in this new category. Do you think there's much difference between the cars in RX4?
The difference is, yes, it's of course with the engine. The Peugeot have more power, but we have good car, good action with it, and settings. So settings, we have good settings for Peugeot, and we are very happy.
Well done, Philip. We'll see you in Sweden. Great job. I'm just going to switch around and have a quick word with Tom Brooks, who I've worked with this weekend in commentary. Tom,
Trump's get run over by Jonas Almeida.
Yeah, we're about to get run over. If you're gonna go, getting run over by a supercar is not a bad way, is it? But oh,
I'll
have some melon. Philip Mellon delivering some melon. Thank you, mate. Well, I was going to make a joke about that in commentary, but I didn't know if you take it very well.
Yes. Melon is very fantastic. Melons is for Melon team. It's fantastic.
So, for those of you listening, Philip Mellon's arrived with a platter of melon, watermelon, and Tom and I are going to enjoy that now. Tom, great to work with you. How much have you enjoyed being in the European Championship paddock? I know you've been a rallycross fan for a very long time. You drive yourself sometimes as well. This is something different though, isn't it?
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it's been awesome, genuinely. I remember when I was 18, I went to Linden Hill as I was starting out in this career of commentary. And I went there, introduced myself to anybody who would listen, and just badgered at the doors, and you know, met Andrew Coley there, and that's kind of how this all sort of started. You know, relationship began 11 years ago, so to get the call up for me, mate, is genuinely awesome, and I have had the best time this weekend. I've had so much fun, you know, working with yourself, and just rallycross is for me one of the best sports. It's so high octane, so high adrenaline, so fast paced, and I've loved it. My voice is absolutely shot to pieces after today, but yeah, it's been one of the most fun weekends I can remember.
Intense, isn't it? And especially on the broadcast in Sunday at 10 till 4, it's just race, isn't it? And I think that helps drive the enthusiasm, doesn't it? Because there's not a moment to think about it, you're straight into the next one, and all the races are as good as each other.
Yeah, and you've got to be on it, haven't you, in terms of rallycross, you know, in terms of commentary, you've got to be two or three steps ahead of kind of what you're seeing. So you're looking at the joker strategies, looking at drivers, are they building a gap, are they doing this, are they doing that, what sort of lines are they taking, and you have to sort of be able to read it, and it's so much fun. So yeah, for me, this is, like I say, genuinely one of the best weekends that I can certainly remember in a very long time, and I'm so grateful.
Andreas Backerud's Ford Fiesta just driving past us in the paddock here. I know Andreas was someone you spoke to and interviewed when you first turned up at Lyddon all those years ago. Really nice to see him on the top step of the podium.
Yeah, full circle moment for myself, and also, you know, for Andreas as well. He's had a really hard couple of years. I mean, you know, this time 12 months ago, he was in your position, Hal, in co-commentary in the box, and you know, now back on the grid, taking the fight to Johan Kristoffersen, now the championship leader as well. Unbelievable, really, really good start to the season, and you know, I'm gutted I'm not in Hollier's, but I'm really keen to see what happens, and looking forward to watching on the telly.
Thank you, Tom. Great to work with you. See you later. I think Tom's going to run off to the airport ahead of me. walking past Andreas. But I could see him on the right hand side. I wonder if we'll see Andreas sometime soon. I'm just going to jump in here quickly to have a word with this man. He hates being interviewed, does Sam Clennell, but unfortunately he's got no choice now. Sam Clennell, tough weekend for Team RX Racing. Patrick had good pace. Just talk us through that hour you had between Q4 and the quarterfinals. That's the worst possible time in the event, isn't it, to have big damage?
Yeah, it was pretty tight for us to do it. There was all four corners damaged. But yeah, we got there. The boys did an amazing job and yeah, it worked in the end.
I think historically we've seen Patrick probably drives at his best when he's up against it. I remember Lydenhill 2022 in the Fiesta. I think he stalled on the line in the semi-final and then just delivered a great performance. Actually, the quarter-final was probably the best I've seen him drive an RX1 car in a few years, actually.
Yeah. It was bad to happen what happened, but it showed him that he and the car had the best. So we know we're on there. He knows how he needs to drive and what we need to do with the car, with the chassis. So we're moving forward, so it's good.
How much damage is there from that contact in the semi-final later on?
There's a lot of damage, to be fair. It's going to be... We'll make Sweden, but it just might not be pretty. So, yeah.
Thank you, Sam. We'll leave you to clearly packing up. Ollie O'Donovan, I'll just turn around quickly. Ollie, you've raced here a few times. Let's talk about you rather than Patrick in the first instance. Special place, isn't it? And in this car, I know maybe you didn't get the result you wanted, but what an experience.
Yeah, I wasn't on the pace yesterday. I was so far away. I mean, I was 3 seconds a lap up this morning in my practice, and today I think I'd done 4 seconds a lap faster than I was doing yesterday. Yeah, yesterday I just didn't gel. I mean, the car was good. Nothing wrong with the car. It was me. I just wasn't, my head wasn't in it, and I couldn't perform. I went to bed last night, woke up this morning, had a good night's sleep, woke up this morning and thought, you know, I need to have a go here, and unfortunately I left it too late to have a go.
Quick shout for Sam and the guys. We're just going to spin around there. Sam's cleaning the rear diff of the car. Massive job they did to get Patrick back out between Q4 and the quarterfinals.
Yeah, it was impressive. I mean, I left here. I was in the same race as Patrick, and I left here and I was actually late into the pit. And I said to myself, well, when I left, there was no wheel on the car, and I was still screwing two suspensions on. And we got down, and I delayed as long as I could in the garage to go out. And you know, just as they were giving me a bit of grief to get going, Patrick overtook me in the paddock and drove onto the start line and had a great race from there.
That's what teammates are for. Well done, Ollie, and see you soon. Thank you to Ollie O'Donnell. Right, I'm going to ditch my half-eaten melon because I'm struggling to hang on to that. And this is a bit of rallycross history going on here. Tommy talking to his boss, Jussi Pinnamäki. Jussi, I'm covered in melon because Philip Melon is handing out melons and I've eaten half of it. A few months ago, you weren't doing anything in European Rallycross this year. You said you'd offer some support to Andreas Backerud in his programme with his team, and that was always the plan. Now you're here with three and a half, four cars, depending on how you look at it. But to fill out the podium in Euro RX1, you've been in this game a long time. I'm sure you're not someone for emotion, are you? But I'm sure that is going to sink in at some point. That's pretty special.
Yeah, for sure. It was pretty amazing feeling. I wasn't really nervous ahead of the start, but after 3.5 laps I was in the spotter tower this weekend spotting for Andreas, and when it started to kind of you started to see how this could end, then it was a bit exciting, but yeah, for sure. Just before Easter we managed to make a last minute deal with Rytkönen and Turpeinen to run their cars as well. We really weren't prepared ahead of Riga just because of the time was so short. Some things we could have done differently now when I look at it afterwards, but to have full podium is something special. I think we had it once, 2011 in Norway with Super 1600, but yeah, now having it here, 30 car grid and having the full podium, it is special. And it's so many small things in it that makes it special. Joni driving his first races, he's 17 years old. Juha has been around for a while, but but a little bit on and off, and now doing a full season. And then of course Andreas, we go way back. We started together 2010 and did a lot of things. A lot of things together at his early stage of his career, and now reunited for this season and him winning, but also this group that I have here, you know, it is something special, really, and have them to experience something like we did today. It was special, but I also know that they got even more hungry, and yeah, it's second race of the season, so it's a lot to go, but of course tonight we need to enjoy this moment, and tomorrow we need to continue working towards Helios.
We've both known Andreas Backerud a very long time. I know you've been close to him for a long time. You're good friends. I said to him in quite an emotional state he was after the final that you gave him that first opportunity to really step up into semi-professional driving when you did, and you were with him when he switched to OMSC as well early in the World Championship days. It's kind of been written in the stars that you should be on the radio for him this weekend, spotting for him when he delivered such a performance. I know sometimes he succumbed to the pressure, and he would admit that himself, but he's been brilliant this weekend in doing what he had to do.
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep things simple and just go out and enjoy and deliver. But it is, I mean, like I mentioned, this group, everyone is starting to know their position, their role, their responsibilities, and things are starting to happen by themselves, and that. I'm sure that kind of transfers to the driver as well, so that all of them can really just focus on the driving and having that relaxed feeling, and they know that they have a package that you know, they can deliver with. So I know how much this means to Andreas. I know how much this means to all of his people back home at Bergen. They've supported him soon 20 years, you know, and that has been a unique, and is a unique group of people, group of supporters that, you know, have stayed with him for so long time. So it's nice that things are sometimes positive, and of course in Hungary, in a track like this, you need some luck as well, you know. Of course you need to be able to put yourself in a position to win, and that Andreas managed to do today, but also here you need the luck in turn one to come out clean and safe. So the stars were in right position today, and that's nice.
Thank you, Jussi. Congratulations. We will see you in Sweden. Jussi Pinnamäki, absolute legend of this paddock. I'm going to keep an eye out for Andreas Backerud, who promised me after the last time I spoke to him for the broadcast that he would probably be less sober than he was at that stage. Next time I saw him, just at Paye competition. Fabien Paye is on the phone at the moment. I'm just going to grab a word with Jonathan Paye, who's running the team, also helping with Dylan Dufar's RX3 program. Jonathan, you such a tough weekend in Riga. Big effort for you to get the engine back in the car from ProDrive. ProDrive did an amazing job. How pleased are you with the performance, just missing out on the final, really?
Yes. I think the key is the tire strategy. We not know enough the tire, so we didn't have the pace in the semi, and that's why I think you have the pace of the weekend to be in the final, but not in the semi. That's a little bit bad, but it's a good weekend so far.
There's a lot to learn, though, isn't there? You've not really used the Megane properly so far. You haven't had the opportunity to race it until this weekend, given what happened in Riga. So if this is your base level, then you can only move forward from here.
Yes, I think for the moment, but current of June, I think we have to make a test day and learn more of the car and I think the pace was better again in Sweden.
Thank you, mate. Well done. Thank you, Jonathan Payet, who is running, for those of you watching, Fabien Payet is there in the background on the phone. Oh, here's someone we're going to... Here's Kasper Janssen doing some work on the back of his Peugeot 208. I'm going to interrupt. Back in a Hansen Motorsport T-shirt is Kenneth Hansen on Sunday. They only must have given you one T-shirt, Kenneth, because you were in a Kasper Janssen top yesterday. Kenneth, back in the paddock this weekend.
I need to answer that one first.
Yeah, go on.
You know that... They gave me actually two, but you know, it was not good yesterday, so I need to change something.
Did you have to do some work?
I'm a little suspicious. That's the thing. Not work, no. You see, I'm clean hands.
So what happened? Did you spill your lunch or something?
No. I just thought that I need to change something also, that luck come back. And I think it was quite good.
Clearly it worked, yeah, because I said to an interview of Kasper in the broadcast actually that it was just a totally different day, wasn't it? Saturday was really tough, and maybe the starts weren't amazing, ended up in the traffic, and then it's all a big fight. But today, things seem to fall your way a little bit more.
Yeah, Kasper, I mean, is more into the circuit. It was his first time here, and we got the setup much better. And he drove with the car very well. So, I mean, in the quarterfinal was the best one today, when he really followed Backerud and challenged him a little. And in the final, we lost the grip quite heavily, so I don't know what happened. We are investigating that, but I think it's more, definitely much more to come.
You seem very motivated. Have you enjoyed being back in this paddock and working with a car and driver and trying to improve?
Yeah, I mean, the team here is very good to work with, and more like I am as a person, and so enjoyed. And Kasper is a very talented driver, so that was very nice. And if I can help that driver to get and the team to get it further on, which I hope I could during the weekend, then it feels very good.
I'm sure people watching and listening at home will be interested as to what you're up to generally. Clearly, you're not here with your own team. Timmy and Kevin aren't driving in Rallycross at the moment. How are things for Hansen Motorsport?
Now, we have said we will look carefully into things, what we should do and where we should focus. And we, of course, we're thinking to come back in the European Championship or in the World Championship if it comes back. But at the moment, what happened next is a boat race for Timmy. And then we will go to US, to Rally X in Americas there, and drive the two first doubleheaders and to try to help to build the series back over there.
You've been a big part of American Rallycross over time. Took Sebastian Loeb there for the first time when he won X Games 2012, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. You've got an affiliation in America, of course, the early Nitro races as well. The World Games were pretty special for you too.
Yeah, we enjoyed it quite a lot. It's quite different, and I really believe that the sport should succeed over there. Now it's going more to dirt tracks, so I think that could fit better, actually, and not build this just one event tracks and cost a lot of money. And so instead, to be included in another event or to be on the real proper circuit, I think it's the key point to go further.
And also going a little bit back in time this weekend, Timmy's been competing in Porsche Carrera Cup Scandinavia. Feels like a long time since Timmy was off circuit racing while you were at a rallycross meeting.
Yeah, that was quite a long time. I think it was 12, 13 years ago. And so I had some of them on the phone. I don't know how he went the last race, but he really enjoyed the weekend. It was fun. And I think it's also good to show the racing drivers that the rallycross pilot is not just the rallycross pilot. He can show off quite well.
I guess we can consider him a rallycross driver now. I mean, for the first 4 or 5 years of him doing rallycross, he was a circuit racing driver that had come rallycrossing. But I guess we can accept him as a rallycross driver these days.
I think so too. He's more a rallycross driver, but still he enjoys to be on tarmac, so it was a nice weekend. And of course, in a week time, approximately, you go on water instead, so it's quite different.
Thank you, Kenneth. Thank great you. To have you here. Speak to you soon. I'm just going to butt in Kasper Janssen chatting to the guys from Orica who supply the engines. Kasper, just chatting with Kenneth there. Clearly, you found something overnight to have a better day today. Much better day, a weekend for you than in Riga and going to Julius, your home event. I guess it's looking more positive.
Yeah, of course. Today's pace have been brilliant. So we just lose some pace in the final. We struggle with the tires, but we need to find out what to do different. And when you drive so many laps in a row, and you know, it's quarter, semi, and final. So it's a lot of driving, but yeah, we need to find something that is good all the way.
You looked a little bit ragged in the latter stages of today. Were you just losing grip in the rear, or do you prefer to drive the car when it's quite loose? What's the thought there?
No, of course it's always good to have as much grip you can. So, but I prefer it to drive it like it's a little bit on the steering, and yeah, it's a little bit different than the FC2. You need to push a little bit more with the back with FC2, and yeah.
Kasper, see you in Julius. Kasper Janssen, who has been racing in the FC2 series as well this year as part of Rally X, and then with the Peugeot 208 in European Championship. I'm just heading over to Joao Ribeiro's team. Joao is folding up the awning floor. Joao Ribeiro, who made his debut here in RX1. Joao, at the start of the weekend, you told me that you had no expectations and you'd be absolutely delighted to be inside the top 20. You didn't know how it was going to go. I guess you can rightly be a bit disappointed with the end result, because you did have really good speed and the performance maybe exceeded what you were expecting.
Yeah, especially today. I think today started better than yesterday. Yesterday we was a little bit unlucky in the rain, but today the pace was good. Free practice, or warm-up in this case, was a very nice time, but unfortunately in the start of the quarterfinal I was get squeezy into the wall and break some parts in the car, and I missed the semi-final. It was the main goal after the start of the event. So, but overall I'm happy. I think it's a quite good pace for the first time. I'm start learning the car, and now it's I can't wait for the next race in Sweden.
What are your plans for the rest of the year? Obviously you missed the opening round in Riga. You did a national race in Montalegre to prepare. Yeah. What more European Championship races are you going to do?
Yeah, I will do for sure Sweden. I'm try to be in France, and for sure in Portugal in last race in my hometown. So that's the plan for this season.
Great to have you here. Thank you, Joao.
Hello.
Good job from the RX3 champion. Here we are outside Munich Motorsport, René Munich and Mandy August. The team actually withdrew René Munich's car after the quarterfinals. No, perhaps it was after Q4. It was after Q4 they withdrew René Munich because the engine had a misfire. We could hear it from the commentary position. And then they elected not to go out just in case it caused further damage. They are planning a test at Julius ahead of the event in Sweden. So, I'm sure they will have that sorted. Very accomplished team is the Munich Motorsport squad. We're going to head back this way. Jean-Luc Payet, how are you? Jean-Luc? Walking back to his team as Payet Competition loads Dylan Dufar's car into the truck. The Set Promotion squad are congregating around Andreas Backrud's car. I'm going to observe. I wonder if he's as sober as he thought he might not be. Here's someone I'm going to grab a word with. Johannes Rafos, up and down weekend. You were in the thick of the action, then you had great pace in warm-up this morning. Didn't quite make it in the end. Your tyres looked absolutely shot up. So you're pretty good for the semi-finals.
Yeah, it was quite upside down on the weekend, but the pace has been there a little bit of the race. But we are very happy to at the end to claim the 9th or 10th place. I'm not sure, but very fun to see Andreas taking home the victory.
Put us in your shoes. You're driving your stepdad's car, basically David Norgaard's car. It's not a works-built car. You know, this Ford Fiesta we're standing next to was built by M Sport. The cars over there were built by Peugeot Sport. Volkswagen Motorsport people have built the KMS cars. You're driving something built at home by passionate people, and you're still doing really well. How does that feel?
It's quite fun to do it so good with something we have made by our own, and it's built by Allo. On the suspension, everything on Fiesta R5, so it's quite similar to the VRC, but not similar, but it's make home, so it's quite fun to see.
We're just watching Andreas Backrud put a ladder up in his awning, and
nothing's going to go wrong here, is it?
No, I think they're going to have a fun night.
Andreas knows how to bargain. Thank you, mate. Here's someone else I'm going to grab a quick word with. I'm sure he doesn't want to talk to me, but Jens Vahl, we haven't seen you you were in Riga. You're not driving in rallycross at the moment, but you've done a lot of cross car lately. You've done a lot of rallying in an R5 car. How is it seeing a fellow Norwegian, you know, he was crying after the final, it meant so much to him. How special is this to stand on and enjoy with Andreas?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I really deserved it. I have spoken a lot to him and I know how much I have done to get here. And I know that this is tasting really good for him. And
You're here with Johannes Rafoss and those guys a lot of the time. You're still young. You're not quite as young as he is. How fun is it to work with someone like him and see him? I think he's been one of the stars of this season, actually, because I just said to him, he doesn't have the works-built cars. He doesn't have the same equipment around him. And he's doing a great job, I think.
He has really surprised me, too. And I owe him. He was with me and when I drove rallycross. So now I owe him some help.
That's very fair. Good to see you, Jens.
Thank you.
Take care. We will see you again soon. We're going to loiter here a little bit because I do want to speak to Andreas Backerud while they're doing this photo. In fact, for those of you watching, let's doorstep. Someone's going to fall off a ladder at some point. I'm going to get out of the picture, though, and stand to the side. He's got all of his sponsors and team around him. Quite why Andreas Backerud does. Johannes, why has Andreas Backerud chosen white t-shirts in a rallycross paddock? You've got black, that's much more sensible.
I'm not sure. I think this weekend is quite hot, so it's not the dumbest thing to do, but.
But the dirt is very red here.
That's very red, so. They're going all in, so that's cool.
Yeah, and there's a lot of organisation going on here for the photo. Jussi Pinnamäki in the thick of the organising as usual. I might come back, but I don't want to miss an opportunity to grab Andreas here. I'll come back. They're waiting for more of the set guys to return, which they now have. Let's head back into the paddock. That's one of Team Rx Racing's Peugeots. You can hear standing, starting up in the background. For those of you watching, have a look at Johan Kristoffersen's car. Look at the damage here on the rear spoiler of the Polo into the rear bumper as well. Big impact into the wall for Johan Kristoffersen in the first corner of the final. OC Vaby's car got a few battle scars on it as well, but Kristoffersen's car here has got a lot of tidying up to be done ahead of Julius. Not committed as a permanent entry at KMS, but Kristoffersen, he'll be there. There's no way he won't be at his home round of the championship. Right, still looking in backwards awning, but they're still faffing around with a photo, as they're totally entitled to do. We're going to doorstep KMS now, who are in the midst of tidying up. We're going to upset the mafia here, just have a quick word with Damian Litvinovic.
All right.
Hello. Damian, I know you haven't got the budget to do more at the moment, but how much did you enjoy driving this weekend in Hungary?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. You know, it was a pleasure to drive last weekend, exactly after Riga. I know that will be my last weekend, but I wanted to, you know, maybe find some budget, maybe something. But yeah, I had to announce it before the race, and now, I'm happy. I have a great pace, to be honest. The pace was really good. My car is a little bit old, so it's. I'm very happy about the pace with this car. So yeah, the weekend was amazing. It was, to be honest, one of my favorite weekends ever in rallycross, because I have no pressure, no nothing, just pure driving and the real rallycross track. It was amazing.
Thank you, mate. Hopefully we see you again soon. Thank you to Damian Litvinovic. I'm just going to doorstep Johan because I'm sure he looks like he's doing something really important at the moment, so I'm just going to jump in and have a quick... Have you had an ice cream?
Yeah. Twister.
Where's mine? I'm joking.
I'm sure, yeah.
Just looked at your car, bit of bodywork damage. Those rear spoilers aren't the cheapest things in the world, are they? But I also think you maybe got away with that first corner move because it could have been a lot worse.
I think we never used so little body panels since this year for some reason. I don't know if someone feels if someone somewhere feels like there is a reason why we're not using body panels this year for the first time in rallycross since the World Championship start. But yeah, there is some body panels, but it's not so bad. I mean, the damage is, it's no worse.
Frustrating though. You said to me earlier in the weekend that P2 on the grid probably wouldn't be the best place to start the final. You actually had a good start, and I think generally your starts have been much better than they were. You've been comparable with a lot of the field. That loose stuff on the outside in the first corner, if you get offline, you're a bit of a passenger, aren't you? Whatever your ability.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, like you said, you know, the start was pretty good. I mean, we did improve a little bit. And maybe we met halfway with the other three cars after Q4 quarterfinal. So yeah, I mean, the start was good in the final, and then from there on, you know, on the loose there, it's so slippery. And I knew about it. I mean, I told you already yesterday, and I said already before the semi-final, the target would be to be P2. But it was so tight in between Ole Christian and Rytkönen on the final lap there. So there was no really any possibilities to slot in between them on the last corner, because the last corner here is so difficult. If it would have been another track, maybe it's easier to manage that a little bit better. But yeah, that weren't the case today. So yeah, ended up on the outside in the final, which is not ideal. So yeah, then it is like it is.
I know you're an obsessive for chasing sector times, chasing lap times. Leading from the front is what you'd like to do, but makes you work for it, doesn't it? Being in the thick of the action, having to think of these strategical situations. A different element, but it must be enjoyable at the same time, trying to overcome these small hurdles.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I really enjoy to be, you know, be forced to use everything you have and try and win the race when you're starting down the field after the first couple of corners. So, you know, trying to figure out how close to stay in the cars in front, how much to adjust my tires on this lap, when do I need to be fast in this heat, when do I have to take the joker lap, and you know, stuff like that. So I really enjoy that, but of course it's more enjoyable when you come out on top. But we didn't do now this time, but you know, that's how it is. That's sport, you know. You cannot win every time. That's just you know, how it is. So but yeah, I mean, I think we just have to. Would have been a different story if we would have been able to get out from Q1 first and then start from the inside there on, from there on to the finish. I had a couple of those weekends as well, which is very different to the one we had this weekend. But yeah, we will see. I mean, that's how it is this weekend. And now I'll go home, and I will. I have some other driving next weekend, and then yeah, we'll see what happens in Hodges.
You're not afraid of hard work, are you? But do these sort of weekends motivate you to work that little bit harder to find what you need?
I think the weekends when I win is motivates me even more, actually, because I enjoy that so much. But I will work equally hard, you know, now as if I would have been winning. And I think that's what's keeping us performing good results, is that we always try and work as hard as we can. And everyone say, and everyone do, so it's just about try and find, you know, be a little bit smarter than the others and perform better. But yeah, it's also a tricky situation what we are in at the moment, when we're not really sealed for the whole season and we're not really knowing what to do forward, which is also a little bit more tricky than if you are in the situation that you know that you will race the whole season.
Thank you, Johan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Johan Kristoffersen talking about hard work.
This is you now.
This is me.
This is from an old movie, famous movie in Norway.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, Norway's a really special place, isn't it? So no one else has actually seen that anywhere else in Europe.
Exactly, that is a special movie.
So Johan Kristoffersen just talking about how hard he needs to work to try and get back to the front of the order. We know he's not afraid of hard work. Nils Andersen, meanwhile, while all the boys are parking up, has got his rucksack on and he's heading for the airport with an ice cream. What's going on here?
It was an ice cream,
yeah.
Now I have to go on another mission.
Yeah. Nah, he's not going for the airport. He travels tomorrow. Yeah. So I don't know, he just tries to look busy, I think.
I'm more surprised by the fact that you know what his travel plan is. Thank you, AC. Nils Andersen heads for the truck or for home or wherever he's off to. We're going to try and let's have a look this way. Volland Racing have basically fully packed up. This is a load of Germans with some of the Munich guys here, and Ralf Volland, Niels Volland as well. I'm going to have to jump in here and interrupt, I'm afraid. Sorry, Ralf. I'm admiring your truck. I joked with you last night that someone's shaking you upside down and found some money from your pockets to put a nice livery on your lorry. And yeah, it looks pretty nice.
You know what is the best? That you saw that it's new, and I'm so proud now.
For yourself, Ralf, things have got pretty busy, haven't they? You've got a car in every category in Euro RX now. I'm sure that hasn't made your life any more straightforward. But there's some brilliant pace from all of your guys this weekend. It's tough at this level, isn't it, to come out on top? But yeah, how's the weekend been from your point of view?
Let's say first, the most positive thing, we won again RX5, so two wins in two races, that's good. Tim messed it a bit up in the final, but okay, I think pace was great, so RX5, I would say, all good. RX4, Marco is fast, but a little bit young. We have also slightly language barriers, but it's working, so he crashed, and of course, it was not ideal for today. Nico, he has a mega speed, but unfortunately, he forgot the choker lap. I mean, I told it to him, but somehow it was a bit too much information, and okay, but we spoke about it, that he get a little bit easier understanding, and I mean, he has the pace, he's talented, so all fine. Actually, Niels, he came fast, but a little bit late. This was definitely too late, so I mean, he knows it, he struggled a little bit with the starts, and speed came, but too late. So this is where we have to work on, but in general, yeah, all okay, keep pushing.
Tough, isn't it, this year in your RX1, 30 car entries. You can get on that downhill spiral pretty quickly, can't you, if you're not in the right place. And for someone with Neil's experience, it's pretty tough, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's actually the point. Let's say in the past was like this, okay, you are not first on the start, still somehow you can handle something. Now, you are not good at the start, whatever first corner, you lose 2 seconds. You are 10 places behind. Then you are a little bit in a not ideal field and you get thrown somewhere, so it's tricky.
Looking ahead to Helios, you've been there many times. Well, what can your expectations be from both Niels and RX1, but also your young drivers in the other classes?
Okay, I would say from this, I expect that we can move a little bit forward. We will make some changes, and I think we'll be okay, hopefully. Nico, he was last year fast, so I think RX3 we should be sorted. In RX4. I guess Marco will improve step by step, to be honest, because he is talented, he is fast, and he is now, you know, it's his second year in rallycross at all. So we should not forget this. In RX5, I think we have to fight for the win. No idea if we could, but I mean, target is, of course, we have two very fast drivers, and most likely we get a third one for Helios, I hope at least. And I hope we fight again for the win.
And I know you're always looking ahead, aren't you, trying to seek some advantage. You had your guys competing in the Swift Championship in the UK, at Mondello Park even, a couple of weeks ago, just to do some track learning there. So a brand new circuit is also a bit of a leveler, isn't it, because you can't necessarily use the home knowledge like some people who've been here many times over, someone like Niels, who's still learning these tracks at this level.
Yes, you are right. That's why I thought, come on, take the Swift, or take something what we get. So the Swift was what I found somehow. And I thought, you know, to drive a little bit, to learn the track-specific things, at least to see how are the corners, how is the layout, where is the apex. I mean, it's still a little bit different, but I mean, you drove, it was quite cost-effective, and my three guys could do it. So I think that helps. And also for the RX5 cars, we understand a bit what's to do and what we expect there.
Thank you, Ralf. Great to speak to you. I'm just going to jump in and speak to Ralf's son, Niels, because it was probably you that shook your dad upside down and squeezed some money out of him to put a livery on the truck, wasn't it? But it does look great for yourself. We were just chatting there. It's tough, isn't it? With this size of entry, you end up with a couple of not ideal runs, and all of a sudden you're on the back foot compared to last year when there wasn't so many entries and you could maybe find your way through. How are you finding this bigger field and having to recalibrate a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, in general, I'm happy that there are so many cars. It's cool to have such a competition, and it's always cool to compete against the best. So from this point of view, I like it. Yeah, of course, we struggle a lot with the starts. There is also no secret about that. And if you struggle with the starts with such a big field, it's very hard to to come there somehow through. You know, if you struggled in the last time with the start, there was no problem because anyway it was only two other races and the race was still fast. But if you now struggle with the start, you're in the back row, you drive with maybe slower guys, and then if you are again in the back after the start, you follow them, already lost some 3 seconds, and 3 seconds is here, I mean, I think 10 positions maybe. So yes, I think also I have to say I did quite mistake on my wet race, so there I was not I didn't have the confidence enough downhill. I think if I would work on my side there, and if we maybe find a solution to get the starts better, I think in general, we can be optimistic that it can be better, because at the end of the season, at the end of the races, I'm always having the pace somehow, but yeah, I'm too slow in the beginning and learning also a little bit too slow.
Thank you, Niels. I'm sure your experience will grow, and I'm sure your dad's not easy on you either in those situations. It's back to rain, mate, so I'd get on with packing up. If that was easy for me to say, but I'd get on with packing. It is about to rain. What brilliant action we had in the wet yesterday afternoon. Oh, that's, I'm going to have a pop down here quickly to try and avoid this truck. I'm going to not run under. I'm going to run under this tail lift quickly to grab Andor Trepak. Oh, no. GoPro's crashed. Have to pick it back up.
Oh my God.
Oh no, that wasn't good, was it? Andor Trepak, not the weekend you wanted, I guess, in URX1. You were so quick here last year, you had a great run in Riga, but sometimes it just doesn't work out, does it?
I think I was quick also this year. So the pace was really good. The small result was, I was okay with it, but the unluck was a little bit with me because of the semi-final grid. First semi-final was I think it was a little bit easier to go through to the final, and the second semi-final was looks like a normal final with the names and the drivers, so it was a really hard and tough race and we didn't manage to go to the final.
But still, nonetheless, racing at home in front of your friends, family and Hungarian crowd must be pretty special in a rallycross supercar. That's what small kids dream of, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. It was like a childhood dream, and I was really grateful for my family, for my friends who was here at this weekend. They helped me a lot immensely.
Thank you, Anto. Great to have you here and see you soon. Two paddock walks. Oh, past the great drone guys who've been working with us all weekend. Yeah, two paddock walks in URX and two camera failures. I think that one was a little bit on me, to be honest. But I won't admit that. Walking past the 11 Motorsport Run Peugeot 208 of Eddie Benezet. Back past KMS now. So I would really like to speak to Andreas Backerud before we wrap up. 11 Motorsport packing up the two cross cars that they've run. They're a bit like Volland Racing in that they've got a car in a lot of different categories. Let's see if we can find Andreas Backerud, if he's not hiding. He'll be somewhere, I'm sure, but there's a lot of trucks around at Set, which doesn't make it any more straightforward. These teams doing their best to reprep as much as they can before they leave the paddock, making the most of the time. There is Andreas, so I'm going to doorstep him. He's trying to run away with his can of beer. Sorry, Tommy. Find a way through. Andreas, you promised me that you would be less sober when I spoke to you next time than you were earlier on. You absolutely stink, mate, covered in champagne and all sorts of horrible fluid.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Come and sit down. Let's sit on something.
In here?
Yeah, wherever. Let's sit on something and have a quick chat. People still desperate to grab a word with the winner today. Oh, here's Jussi Pinnamäki again. I've had a GoPro crash. It fell off and I'm clutching onto it. Andreas Backerud.
Yes.
And we can't talk about Jussi now because he sat here. He's gonna First of all, mate, I haven't seen you so emotional at the end of a race ever, actually, as you were at the end of the final. You apologised for crying on air. But I think there's no reason to apologise at all, because this means so much to you, doesn't it? And Try and describe the feeling having crossed the finish line, driving back up to the race finish, getting out of the car, that release of emotion, and then seeing all your friends, your sponsors that have... They don't have to be backing you to do this. I think you and I discussed a couple of years ago that a lot of your loyal sponsors have seen the best, haven't they? They've helped you drive with Ken Block. They've helped you drive with Audi and with Ford. There's no reason for them to keep backing you for a return on investment. They're doing it because they want to join you in this amazing, passionate journey. And I think that was the release for you, wasn't it, at the end of the race?
Yeah, and something... when you interview me, I felt kind of okay. But there's something when you take off the helmet, the adrenaline just pumps straight up the easiest way it can go. So, and I was like less than 2 minutes getting out from the car. And then when we were waiting for live TV to go on, I saw my uncle and I saw Howard, which is the CEO of Bergen Motorsport Evolution, and they are all red. And I see adults and older people cry. That makes it gives you something. And you know, we have taken the long route, but we have taken it with long steps, let's say. So to me, I'm a rallycross fan first and foremost, and to beat KMS in a final, I felt kind of fair and square, but at the same time it was, you know, it was tough for them being on the outside. Means not only so much to me, but the whole paddock, because everyone feels it's not possible to beat them. But if you put every foot right in the entire weekend, it is possible, because that's how good Johan is, especially Johan. Ola is also great, you know, but Johan has one step ahead of him all the time. So, and I knew, you know, I got a flashback lining up on the grid, not the grid, but before the grid, we go to this tunnel here in Nirad. And I drove the car, check in the tires to see that we are on the correct tires. And Johan is there and a few other drivers are there. And I pull up and I get a flashback for Barcelona 2021, where I last time were in pole position with the Renault Megane. And I remember the radio message I sent to Stefan Orr and Glenn Chicherit, that, you know, we got the chance. Do you want me to go for it? Risk will be high, or should I be smart? And they told me to go for it. And out from that start, he was a bit ahead. He came in hard. I hit the tire barrier. Spun around, Robin Larsson hit my side door, and it's one of the hardest crashes I've ever had. So I had that in my head, and I knew I had to face him before he faced me into turn one. So I went up to meet him, no touching, flicked it into turn one. I think Johan probably got some touches from behind, and from there on, every lap I got a reminder: 3 car lengths, 4 car lengths, or 7 car lengths to Juha. But in Finnish, Juha is very close to Johan. So in my head, I was gapping Johan, which was the biggest thing ever for me. 43-0 in that final. We did a few changes to the car in the final. That felt very good. Meant that we had taken a step, and that's what we've been looking for. And yeah, it's big.
That gap was being called to you by Jussi Pinnamäki, who we just joked about talking about. But I've already spoken to Jussi in this podcast. He's spotting for you again this weekend for the first time. You had Adam spotting for you in Riga. Jussi gave you that opportunity. For sure, it was commercial with Set Promotion then, as it is now, because they're a commercial race team. But Jussi gave you that chance 2010 in the Renault Clio. You won a couple of European Championships with Set. Jussi convinced you to stay another year in 1600 with him. Maybe they were tempted to go to Supercar because he felt that was the right thing for you to do before you stepped up. You worked together again at OMSC when you and Reinus Nittis were young kids living an amazing dream in the World Championship at that stage. How has it been to be working with Jussi and his team at this season, but to have Jussi in your ear? That's a really personal relationship, isn't it? The spotter-to-driver thing this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been calling Jussi every winter to see if there's a door opening, but it haven't been. So That feels special. Also Adam, which is best man in his brother's wedding this weekend. We went to school together, so like the bonds are tight. Tommy Heikele, my engineer, was my race mechanic with Set Promotion in 2010, two races, then full season 11-12. And he said today, it's, how many years is 2012 ago? It's 13?
More. Don't ask me to do maths.
You guys can do the math. But Hungary,
we're getting old,
2012
man.
Was the last time me and him won.
Wow.
A race. So also for him and for me it means a lot. Heppa was race mechanic for Ken in 2016-17 when I was driving there. We got a great bond. Then I have my cousin, my uncle, my friend, my family, everyone here as well. So, and the first race in Riga, I was so stressed, like putting together a team. And no, I knew my structure in the World Championship or in GRC or in ARX or in Nitrocross, but it's very hard to show my guys it because I've kind of traveled by myself over the years. So all of a sudden, having my family and my friends in here, it's been a steep learning curve for them. And Heppa, the lead mechanic on our team, he's hard but fair. But he's a great teacher for my crew, so the dynamic has really been great. So yeah, I know it means a lot to everyone. I think they are all stubborn and they all are winning heads, winning mentalities. No, none was happy when we left Riga. We all are gonna be probably pretty happy leaving Hungary, but we know tomorrow starts another chapter. KMS brought their engineers back in. They are meaning full on, they're pushing all the buttons they can. So yeah, it's gonna be probably, they wanna feel redemption time in Hollius.
I guess you're also experienced enough to know that you have to enjoy this moment, don't you? Because yeah, it could all go very differently in the following events for reasons out of your control. So I guess you're determined to enjoy this evening, probably have a horrendous bad headache tomorrow, and then look at Hollius, because you just never know what's going to happen to you, and you've experienced that a lot in your career as well.
Yeah, you need to cherish the high moments, because like me and Johan was pretty similar over the years until he joined KMS or Per Solberg World Rallycross team, and then he put the hat on and went. And I remember especially 2017 and 18, I saw his rear bumper the most amount of times those 2 years. And then we didn't race for many years together because I did European Championship and he was off in 1 year, and then I did America and he did World Championship. So I always felt I'm as good of a driver as Johan, but I never had the equipment to beat him. But even though we're slower on track, as long as we can beat him off the line, then at least we could give him a punch, you know? And we need to use that as our advantage. And then when you put everything together like we have done this weekend, slowing them down when we need to, fight with them when we need to, then we can win. And I think that's also great for the paddock here to see, because for a few years now they've been so dominating, which haven't even been fun for anybody else. And it's a big investment to carry or keep up with them, you know. Yeah.
Thank you, Andreas. Great insight. We're just in the back of your own truck here. Yeah. There's a Tom Banks special photo on the wall with you in the Ford Focus RS RX.
I will tell the story about this photo, because this is 2017 Estoril, Sunday morning warm-up. But Saturday evening, Ken told me that Ford was pulling out. So this was the last season Hoenigan Racing Division did rallycross or world rallycross. So my mentality was like, drive it like you stole it every time. So if you look into the photo, it's one wheel on the ground, one puncture wheel, everything else is off the ground, the bumper is hanging, and rocks and stones and stuff is flying. And this is the coolest photo I know in rallycross ever.
Thank you, Andreas. This has been a Paddock Walk edition of the Talking Leafs podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and you will get another one very soon indeed.